Free is a zero tobacco nicotine pouch designed for people who want a simple, hassle-free way to enjoy nicotine without smoke, vapor, or the smell. Everything about Free is engineered for ease, fast flavor, fast effect, and fast delivery straight to your door. The strength range goes from 3 milligrams all the way up to 15 milligrams, so whether you're looking for something on the lighter side or you want maximum strength, they've got you covered. Flavors, mint, wintergreen, watermelon, which is new, plus lush, sweet, and original. Enough variety that picking a flavor feels like picking a mood. Available in single tins, mega packs, and bundles for those who like to commit. The pouches come pre-primed, so flavor and effect hit instantly. No waiting around. They're soft, flexible, sit comfortably, and the whole setup is discreet. Compact tins, zero smoke, zero vapor, perfect for meetings, commutes, or just getting through the day. You can get your instant delivery straight to your door or pick them up whenever you normally get your nicotine. Right now, my listeners can get 20% off their order at freepouch.com. That's F-R-E pouch.com with promo code LISTEN20. That's freepouch.com, F-R-E pouch.com, and use promo code LISTEN20 to get 20% off today. F-R-E, free. Strength you can count on. Did you know that your calendar age does not always match how old your body truly is? Your biological age and the age of your cells and organs is the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases. That's why I ordered the True Age test from True Diagnostic. With just a simple at-home finger prick, you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights. No doctor visits, no labs. Look, I'll be honest. When I learned that if your biological age is just 5 years older than your actual age, your disease risk can jump 30 to 50%. I got a little bit nervous. I mean, I'm the guy who thinks ketchup counts as a vegetable. But up to 90% of biological aging is driven by lifestyle. The way we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress has a massive impact on how fast our bodies age. True Diagnostic gives you a personalized report with science-backed steps to actually slow down aging. I'm kind of dreading what my results might say, but I am curious. Maybe this will finally be the wake-up call that gets me and you back on track. The test is super easy. Send in your sample using the prepaid mailer, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you get your detailed report. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code ZABE to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. TrueDiagnostic.com, promo code ZABE at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you. You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.
God f***ing damn it!
What? That's good, right?
No. I only bet 10.
But you won.
What did I say? Huh? What did I tell you? It's a short thing.
You talk about this crap like it's science, Tony.
I lost a lot of f***ing money.
You didn't lose.
We could have turned your bullshit into a f***ing $1,000,000.
My bullshit?
Never think I might know what I'm doing!
I'll just call myself Mr. X. Yep, you can't go wrong with Mr. X.
It is time to get into the weeds on the glory that is point spread betting and more in the world of sports, and of course baseball as well, because Mr. X, you are a true baseball fan, right? Hold on a second.
Uh-oh.
That was me. You are a true baseball fan, yeah?
Sure, but I like winning more than anything.
Don't put it that way. I okay. believe I look at you and I listen to you and I know you enough that you like baseball for baseball in addition to being able to make money on your season totals. Is that not fair to characterize?
Very fair.
Okay.
Sure.
I'm becoming more and more and more of a baseball fan all the time. Slowly. You know, it has always been my lagging sport, my least favorite sport. But now I'm more into it than ever. I'm actually looking forward to Game 3, Mariners-Blue Jays back in Seattle, even though I don't really have a rooting interest there. So, and of course, the Brewers being the Brewers. I got to get this out for all my Milwaukee listeners who are now looking for a place to listen to me. And you can always come here to the Zabecast, and I will try to push to the front Milwaukee and Wisconsin-centric content for you. Yamamoto was awesome last night. Complete game in the postseason after a home run to start the game by Chorio. A little bit of an ambush early. And then after that, he was un-fucking hittable. Never mind the fact the Brewers had some shitty at-bats where they kind of abandoned what they had done all year in terms of not chasing, swinging for contact, and a bunch of other stuff. But it was one of those nights. This is why they paid Yamamoto $325 million, Mr. X, plus $50 million as bribe money to the Yakuza who run those posting deals, right, in Japanese baseball. $50 million just to get him out of Japan. Export fee.
Well, Snell was just as good the night before.
And too. Snell was just as good, maybe even better, arguably. So, the thing is this. These were known. I don't want to hear from Brewer fans about the bellyache and about both the contract situation and the salary cap difference. And I don't want to hear bellyaching about the 2-3-2 because they're like, oh, this format really doesn't benefit the team with home field advantage, you know, because you can lose in five and never come back for a home game for your home field advantage.
What do you want?
Well, 2-2-1-1. I do believe 2-2-1-1-1 is a more fair, proper home field advantage because it ensures that as long as you don't get swept, you'll have a third home game.
Well, Zabe, you know, there's always a slice on everything. When you go back to that, that's the format I grew up on. And that's why you could get through. There's more off days and suddenly you're seeing more Yamamotos. Well, so there's that. If you're a deep staff, you want to play them sooner. If you're a shallow staff and you want to throw Randy Johnson three times, you know, you want more off days. So you do that and you say, oh, these extra off days allow the best guys to pitch more. That's not fair. So it's going to be, you know.
I know. It's a small note, but here's my larger point. Now is not the time for this, Brewer fans. This is loser talk. This is how loser. The series is not even over yet. It's 2-0. It's not even 3-0. It's not over yet. Okay. Stop it with the loser talk. It was a known thing that the Dodgers payroll is obscene in every way imaginable, right down to the deferred funny money that has Shohei Ohtani on the books for $2 million only this year. This was a known thing. And I know you're like, well, we swept them this year 6-0 in our matchups. I'm like, yeah, but that was in July. July baseball is different. And by the way, they were not healthy back then, the Dodgers. They've gotten healthy since then. They were not playing good baseball. They're playing better now. And it's the playoffs. So let's just stop with the loser talk, try to have better at-bats, try to find a fucking way to get to their bullpen, which sucks.
Got to get to the bullpen. You let them throw 8 innings, it's not going to work. You got to get into that bullpen. That's how you beat the Dodgers. Hey, the Red Sox owned the Yankees this year, but they lost when it counts. Nobody wants to hear about July.
Yeah. I went through, and on that unassisted double play, Mr. X, I went through some of the craziest plays that I recall from postseason memory in baseball, and the two that I came up with were the Reggie Jackson hip check play in 78, and then also the A-Rod slapping it out of the glove play in 2004. And then there was the 2000 Piazza Clemens bat throwing incident, which wasn't so much a play that was complicated and hard to umpire and sort out. It was just oh, hey, Clemens, you're a real dick. Like, why'd you throw the bat there? And he pretended like, oh, I was just getting it off the field when he threw it at Piazza's feet. So those were the three that I came up with. I had a listener remind me of another one. Hmm. And this is of the Kent Herbeck 91 World Series, in which he lifted Ron Gant off of first base to tag him out. I don't fully recall that, but basically, yeah, that there was a case where he kind of nudged him off the bag, and it was like, hey, what happened here? Here's the audio of it right here. Smith, well, you going. Probably can't hear it.
And a hit to left by Gant. And Lonnie's trying. They're going to get him, perhaps. He's safe. And now Gant gets back to first, and he's out!
I don't know, Jack. It looked like Herbeck pulled him off the bag. I think the Braves have a legitimate complaint right here. Ken Herbeck makes the tag, and watch the momentum of Herbeck pull Gant off the bag. He pulls him off the bag. I think that's a bad call right
there. Yeah, little subtle thing right there. But, yeah, that's the thing about baseball, Mr. X. You watch it long enough, you'll eventually see something you can say, holy shit, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, Reggie got away with it. A-Rod didn't. I guess Herbeck did. I barely remember that one.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so.
But the Brewers, the biggest, you know, I know I'm not a big, obviously, social media and up-to-date person, but I did see a few people with really bad comments on the, I'm forgetting the dude who should have got hit by the pitch in the ninth in game one.
Oh, that was Bryce Terang. Yeah.
That was an absolute, there is no excuse for being a goddamn gymnast.
You really, so you're one of those guys.
1,000%. At age 10, sorry, I go back. At age 10, I would teach kids the proper way to get hit, to take a pitch on the inside part of the plate to protect yourself, not because you're trying to be Homer Simpson and get on first base.
Right.
But because you protect yourself. And about age 10 is where they're first scared of a ball. And if you turn the wrong way and you open your face and your chest and your crotch, you're going to get hurt. You turn away, protect your head, and you get hit in the shoulder, and it doesn't hurt you, and you actually get hit by balls. And every kid through travel ball high school learns, and my point is, you're not trying to get hit by that, but if you've been playing this game your whole life, the instinct to turn properly on a pitch is what you do instinctively.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter scenario, but to turn away and jackknife over the ball,
It was a mistake. It was a brain fart, just like Orion Kirkering going home with the throw for the Phillies. It was a brain fart. You, when you coached your boys in Little League, I'm sure from the first day, drilled every single one of them of, okay, this many outs, this many guys on these bases. If the ball comes to you, where are you throwing it? Right?
Oh, yeah. They can't decide after it's in play. You got to decide before.
Exactly.
Got to decide before.
Can't sit there.
But you know what? When you say that on Kirkland play, because I'm not a believer in hindsight. You know, I always used to say, if we've never learned it in practice, I don't expect you to do it in a game. You do what you've been taught. Otherwise, wing it.
Okay.
And my kids immediately text me, and they all say the same thing. That was on Real Muto, the catcher, because we're taught. Anything, usually a bunt or whatever, anything in front of you, there's one person who can see the entire field, and that's the catcher. And he did a wimpy little kind of half-ass point to first base.
Yeah,
he needs
one of
to
these.
Be out in front yelling with, so that I used to say every parent in the stands needs to hear you yelling first, 10 times and pointing. And he didn't do it, and that's on him for not taking charge.
That's a great point, and I would say that if you want to give Real Muto a little bit more blame, if he was four steps in front of the dish, then visually Kirkering would have known there's no play there. He's way out here on the edge of the grass.
You're moving out. You're going towards him. You're pointing and you're yelling and pointing with everything you have. So no one in the park goes, huh, I wonder where I should throw it.
Well,
you have to take charge.
And this is why sports is a multi-billion dollar industry, because it's still played, thank God, by humans. Once we get to robot sports, I will throw to the correct base at all time. Probability of being out is 94.6%. Then it'll be boring, and it won't be fun. So,
and Troy Aikman will know all the analytics.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just one thing on that, the Terang duck away. Jonathan Lucroy, who played for the Brewers, said on Twitter, in defense of Terang, and maybe this is just him being an ex-Brewer wanting to defend a guy that's on his former team, he said, if I was trying to get drilled, then I wasn't trying to get a hit. You can't do both at the plate. It's super reactionary and happens way faster than you think, and most people can't understand since it looks completely different on TV.
And that's what's BS, is because what I'm saying is do the same thing every time. Make it a habit. Know how to turn away safely from a pitch. If you get hit, you get hit. You know, after you had sent something about that and I saw this one, it took me all of like 8 seconds to go on online and go, how to get hit by a pitch. And every little baseball academy in the world has their drills, like I used to do, how to get hit. I'm not saying, hey, go try to get hit by a pitch. Of course you're trying to hit the ball. But instinct, make it a habit. And most people turn the proper way because they've been playing this game.
True story. When I was in Little League, I was, of course, like many kids, terrified of getting hit.
Sure.
And I decided one day that I just needed to learn to be tougher. So I went to the backyard with my older brother, Jim, 2 years older than me, and I instructed him to practice beaning me. Well, sure enough, my mom saw what was going on outside the back window. And after a couple of throws where he was plucking me, she came out and said, what on earth are you doing? And shut the whole operation down. But let me tell you, my older brother, Jim, it was like the greatest day of his life. Oh, my younger brother wants me to bean him? Let's go.
Let's go.
At least
I have to admit, when I taught it, I'd use bean bags because they're 10 years old and they need to learn. But you know.
Yeah.
But you learn how to play the game.
Yeah, well, anyway, we'll see what happens from here. Maybe a gentleman's sweep. Maybe a miracle happens. You never know. Baseball's funny like that. Let's get to the football, and let's get to one of your favorite things. What are you doing? Right? You were upset last week we didn't do this. Let me give you a good old Mike Shanahan.
What are you doing?
So on Sunday, I'm watching ESPN, and they've got on their betting expert, who just so happens to be a 10 out of 10 as a under 30-year-old woman. Beautiful woman. Her name is Erin Kate Dolan, D-O-L-A-N. Erin Dolan.
Now, okay, I don't know her, but she's either going to be a betting expert or the weather girl.
Okay, she's smoking hot. She's from the Philadelphia area. And she went public with a relationship with Phillies third baseman Alec Bohm earlier this year. So she's dating a major league ball player. But she graduated from Penn State with a degree in broadcast journalism. Hey, how about that? And she also won a couple of awards and blah, blah, blah. She's hot. She also started doing stuff for FanDuel and PointsBet sportsbooks betting, creating betting content for their social channels, and co-hosted a weekly YouTube channel called Girls Who Bet. Okay, I get where they're going on this. ESPN's like, oh, give us that eye candy catnip. You know what? We're going to promote gambling on our partner gambling site, which ESPN is in bed with, and we're going to put a very cute girl up there. You couldn't possibly go against the gambling advice of such a cute girl, could you? You simps out there, come on, bet what Erin Dolan says is her bet. Okay, so here is what she said was her prop pick, one of her top prop picks for Sunday. She said, I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes, one INT. The over-under is a half. I know the Lions secondary is, quote, a little banged up in this game, but I like Mahomes to throw a pick. And I go, a little banged up. Yeah. They're without their 1, 2, 3, 4 top cornerbacks. Why would you stick with, oh, I know they're without their top four corners, but I'm going to go over on Mahomes' INTs. So sure enough, in true SpongeBob fashion, a few hours later, Patrick Mahomes, 22 of 30, 257 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, womp, womp, loser. and a passer rating of 132.2, which I think is literally breaking the passer rating scale. Thanks for the tip, Aaron. You look great today.
Yeah, well, I guess when I hear that, I think of the classic Jimmy the Greek, Vince Lombardi line. How much did he have on that game? You know, these people that are giving out these things, whether it's eye candy or whatever, I really, when you hear them, I really wonder if they've ever really bet their own money.
Or how much
what
of their
are you doing?
Or how much of their own money they've actually bet.
If you
bet.
Haven't done it, you really don't know what you're
how about,
doing.
How about this? Better yet, tell us your biggest gut loss. Like, tell us the loss you had in gambling that literally buckled your knees. And if it's not four figures at a minimum, you're not even a gambler. If it's not $1,000 or more.
Yeah, her biggest loss was probably when she got cut from cheerleader.
I think her biggest loss is every month when the pregnancy test comes up negative with Alec Bohm, Major League ball player, because that's her lottery right there. But anyway.
Okay, this is not a Mr. X is great, he knows what he's doing. This is not that. But I will say, when I hear those things, the one thing that my guys that subscribe or follow me on the website, especially my VIPs, the one thing they know is if it's on there, I've bet it. I never say this is going to win, that's going to, I say, here's what I did. Follow it if you want to. I don't just sit there and people say, what about the Monday night game? And I'll say, yeah, I don't like it. If I could pick it like your girl, but if I didn't bet it, I'm not picking it.
Yeah.
So, well, that's what's different.
I just wonder about the whole. So, yeah. And by the way, in the lead up to her appearance, the hosts on ESPN pointed out that this is a really tough spot for the Lions because they're so decimated at corner. And so she could have come on and said, look, I had Mahomes, one interception, took the over. But the more I think about it, with all these corners out, I'm gonna jump off of that, and I think you should too if you can. Or if you were thinking about it, I would recommend it. I'd have respect for that, you know?
Sure. But yeah, that game was a clear bet the over scenario, which was my top pick of the week, which did not win.
Wow. Wow, sometimes bets don't win. That's another brutal piece of honesty from you, Mr. X, that yes, bets don't win. Did you see Bad Beats by Van Pelt this year? Or not this year, this week. Did you see the Bad Beats this week?
I did not see him.
Okay. East Texas A&M, which doesn't even sound like a real school, but apparently it is. East Texas A&M against Lamar. You want to hear this? That. You want to hear this bad beat? East Texas A&M is catching 7.5. Okay. So they're up 3 plus 7.5. They're up 10.5 against the spread, and there is 55 seconds to go, and East Texas A&M has the ball. You ready for this? How could they possibly lose this bet? Take a listen to how it unfolds. Do you want? Well, you can't use your phone because you're talking to me on it right now. I'll send you the link. You can look at it afterwards, but here's how it sounded.
Nowhere to go. He's rolling. How's the light situation?
I was wondering if we just paid a dad for this film.
It does look like high school film.
Fourth down, field goal unit. Ben Woodard, kick is good.
All right, so Lamar kicks a field goal to supposedly tie the game at 23-23 with 11 seconds to go. Texas A&M is catching 7.5. You, as a Texas A&M ticket holder, don't mind overtime. Why? You still can't lose. 7.5.
You can, but you shouldn't.
Well, how would you lose if you go to OT on 7.5?
Oh, I've done it.
Well, how?
Because the first team scores.
Oh, and they
the
go
second
for...
team does a pick six.
Oh.
Lose by...
Oh, right.
UCLA and USC had a famous overtime game years ago where the dog was catching 12 and couldn't cover in overtime because it ended on a touchdown and then a pick six.
Okay.
13-point win.
Okay.
But,
well,
yes, you're right.
You still don't mind overtime. You know what? I didn't think about that. The team that scores first could go for two, and then the other team doesn't. Now it's 8, and so therefore you would lose.
Right.
Either way, you're like, okay, this is not a bad position. Fine. There's only 11 seconds left. We're going to overtime.
There's leverage called on East Texas A&M.
Oh, my.
Leverage.
So they take the field goal off the board to try to score a touchdown to win the game.
Okay.
Again, you're getting 7.5. You're up 3. So even if good old Lamar scores a touchdown, guess what? You're still golden. There's 11 seconds left.
Leverage?
He just jumped them.
Are they playing next to a gas station?
By the way, you got to see the highlight in the picture of the field goal, the video of the field goal going through. In the distance, there is like an easy go quick stop with cars and gas pumps. That's right there.
yeah, quick track.
UT.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Paint state material. It's just so now you're down 3, and here comes Lamar.
4 seconds
and that's
left.
McCown to Kendon Fusilier. There are 3 seconds left.
Okay, they score to go up 26-23. There's 3 seconds left. The clock operator down there let the clock bleed out. So you might have thought momentarily, hey, I've won my bet because the game is over. Then they put 3 seconds back on the clock. What do you think happened next?
Not good.
They scored to go ahead.
What do you run?
This is worse than pitchy-pitchy woo-woo. This is the kick bouncing, and now this is just...
Look at
wait, this. You're not going to believe it. Whee! He just chucks it. No! No! What a disaster! That's picked up by Ronnie Hamrick.
Oh, that's a friggin' disaster.
Do you understand what happened? Not pitchy-pitchy woo-woo. Just whee! It bounces...
Oh, my God. It was the worst cross-the-field throw, and it bounced, and the guy who was in the area for East Texas A&M just stood and froze. He didn't go for the ball, and he let the defender pick up the ball on one bunny hop and run it in for a touchdown.
That's a bad beat, but it's Lamar. I don't think anybody had money on Lamar, just like the Patrick Mahomes prop. I don't know. But that is a good one.
So, all right.
Or a bad one.
Okay. So let's get to your topics. Right. Topic number one, Mr. X, from you is?
Well, let's recap last week, the usual. The favorites went 7-8. Upsets with Giants, Carolina, Falcons, Bears. On the season now, you want to guess the percentage of wins for favorites? Oh, no, wait. They're 48-44. So faves have done a little bit okay. Home teams did good for once at 9-6. So on the year they are?
Probably 50-50.
Boom, right on the money. Yes. And the overs last week finally had a half-decent week. They went – where'd they go? They went 6-9. So on the year, the over-unders are?
Close to 50-50.
46-46. They're on the
right on the number.
So it's been an even throughout. My notes on games for this week is number one.
By the way, is it not at all remarkable to you that they can get it that close? It kind of, as the more I think about it, the more I'm amazed at how the books can make it so that they're so on it when it comes to these are chaotic, organic sporting contests with a ball that's not round. And they're somehow right on it with the favorites and the dogs and the overs and the unders. What the hell?
Yeah. And I mean, flip a coin 100 times. You're not going to have 50 heads.
No, you're not.
It's not going to come out that close. I mean, so it's not just, you can do the job perfect and you're not going to hit 50-50. You know, that's just a lot of luck to go with it. This week's notes I had was Baker Mayfield. He's amazing to watch. He's the MVP in this league right now. And who was the last MVP that was cut by 3 or 4 teams? I bet there hasn't been one. My what are you doing note was Tua Tagovailoa.
Yes.
Tua with his saying, "Yo, hey, guys are being late for meetings.
We have a leadership problem coming from the team captain about a players only meeting, and everyone's talking about the coach. My understanding of players only meetings, coaches aren't there. They're not taking attendance.
Exactly.
What are you doing?
What are you talking about?
Also,
everyone says there's no leadership because the players aren't going to a players only meeting. And that also brings me to my, I've had this for 20 years. I have a rule on players only meetings. We always talk about some World Series or Super Bowl team, and they say it all goes back to that players only meeting we had in midseason. And that was the turnaround. And they ignore the 57 under players only meetings that don't do anything.
Yeah, they don't work. These players only meetings.
But it's a great story.
Right. If they worked, they would have regular Zoom meetings with the players every single week. And they would be like,
how does that have anything at all? If there's anything that team does that has nothing to do with a coach, it's a players only meeting.
Yeah. Right. It's
and isn't he a captain? What is he doing? Okay.
Next one. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Well, I assume you've seen that, you know, Mark Sanchez, I guess he was given a sentencing choice of 3 months in jail or had to quarterback the Jets.
Very funny. Yes. I've seen the memes on that. He's been sentenced to 5 more years of quarterbacking the Jets. Ugh.
Now, I really don't get into busting on announcers like a lot of people, mostly because I don't really listen. I have too many games on at once. But the Cardinals-Colts end of game, and I'm not positive who was the analyst. I think just from hearing it in the back of my head right now, it sounds like it was probably Moose Johnson.
Okay.
The last play of the game, fourth down, they throw in the end zone to McBride, the tight end for Carolina. You really didn't have a good shot of the play. It was incomplete by a distance, but McBride's throwing his hands up, begging for the PI call. They didn't really show a good replay. And yet Johnson said this. I wrote this down, Zay. Our analyst said, well, if you're a Cardinals fan, you're asking, where is the flag? And if you're a Colts fan, you're saying, it's all good. That's analysis? How about you tell me what you think?
It was indeed Daryl Moose Johnston. And it was Kevin Kugler on the call. I have long identified Moose Johnston as one of the worst, least nutritionally valuable analysts in all of television football. He says nothing and does it in the most mundane, cliched ways. Yeah. But because he's handsome, an ex-cowboy, and kisses ass to the people that run network TV, they keep him on. There is no actual analysis being done. No actual, are we getting the most out of these guys we're paying a good amount of money for? Hell, they don't even supervise their analysts. They let them run around downtown Indianapolis, get into a fight with a truck driver while being completely hammered and nearly get stabbed to death. By the way, did you see the video of Sanchez wandering by himself for 20 minutes downtown Indy after hours? Why? Yeah. How? Like, where's his guys? So, yeah.
I know Johnson's not good, but a game-ending controversial play, and you tell me fans of one team like it, fans of the other team don't. Thank you. Really?
Right. Well noted. Appreciate that. Yeah.
Okay.
Next up.
We finally have a good 9:30 game this week. Rams-Jags. It's been hard to get up for some of these early morning, when I'm watching college football till 2 a.m. and stuff. But we finally have a good Sunday morning game. We also have the next coach to be out game, Miami at Cleveland.
Yes. Also this week, we have what they're calling the Icy Hot Bowl.
What's
between
that?
The Steelers and 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers and the Bengals and newly minted 40-year-old Bengal quarterback Joe Flacco. Pretty funny.
Yeah,
Hot Bowl. Others are calling it the Unc Bowl, short for Uncle, for you kids out there who don't know what the young people are saying.
Well, and how about, Tomlin kind of went off on the trade, saying, how do you do that? I'm like, because we care about us, not you.
Well, true, but also it's just dumb because they moved up one round. They moved up from the sixth round to the fifth round.
And how much do you want to move up for Joe Flacco?
Well, like, the joke is on both the Browns and the Bengals. The Bengals think that they can do something with Flacco. They're not going to.
No.
And the Browns think they're being savvy by going, well, looks like our season's lost. We got Dylan Gabriel. We got Shador. We're going to play them both at some point. You know they're going to get to Shador eventually.
Sure. But at least, you know, I mean, Joe Flacco, the only thing worse than Joe Flacco on your roster is Joe Flacco on your bench. I mean,
well,
you know,
no,
so
I think Joe Flacco on your bench is better. Joe Flacco is the quintessential. He's a good backup as long as you don't have to play him.
Don't have to play. Yeah, but if you're going to be 3-14, or you can move up around. I don't have a problem with moving up around. It didn't move the needle any, but I also don't have a problem with turning the reins over and that whole, it's in the division. I don't care where you trade him or you move. Nobody else wanted Joe Flacco, so you take what you can get.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's see what else we
got. Also on that game, I got a couple other things. One is, I don't know, do you pay attention to Pro Football Focus and the PFF grades that are used by a lot of people in the media?
Only when they announce the lineups on Sunday Night Football and they list your ranking underneath each guy.
Okay. So Pro Football Focus, of course, had a great grade on Myles Garrett in that game last week against the Steelers, and he was basically non-existent. And they're now trying to explain why they graded him the way they graded him. And most people are saying this is a joke. Here's the tweet that I think is good. Listening to these guys trying to explain themselves here. Let's take a listen to the Pro Football Focus people talking about why they graded Myles Garrett so high in this game, even though he was a non-factor.
And they saw that Myles Garrett's grade was ahead of TJ Watt, and they weren't very happy about it, and they wondered how Myles Garrett was able to get that high of a grade while only having one pressure. Those are the preliminary grades, and we go over the grades. We comb over it. We have our rechecks and everything. And so those are the final grades that we showed you right there. But I do want to say, like, Garrett still had a really good game in this game. His passer's win percentage was still pretty dang high. He was still a force to be reckoned with in this game. The fact of the matter is, the Steelers had a fantastic game plan for him. They constantly had different looks with tight ends being able to be on his side of the line of scrimmage and chip him and all that kinds of stuff. The offensive line, I thought, played really well in mitigating exactly where Myles Garrett could go and how he could impact the game. If they were running the football, a lot of times they weren't running it at Myles Garrett. They were making him get beyond a chip or beyond the offensive tackle.
Okay, so it just sounds like a lot of rationalization. Yeah. The tweet on this that I think hammers it home is, this is so sad. It's not confusion about the grade. Everyone knew that they were going to give Myles Garrett an elite grade despite being invisible. No one could have known the lengths to which they would go to give it. It's literally a fan club at PFF. An actual fan club.
That's fine. I guess to me, both things can't be true. You can't say they had an excellent game plan to completely neutralize him and he played wonderfully. Which is it?
Yeah, it's got to be one of the two. There's also a guy that does a running bit on quarterbacks. Let me give this guy credit. This is Steak Friend, STEAAK Friend. And this is his, I'll just let you listen to it, Mr. X, but this is his top five worst throws of week six in the NFL. Have you seen this?
Yeah, you sent me this. The Browns guy.
Top five worst throws of week six. And as an honorable mention, I got Dylan Gabriel for this throw off Isaiah Bond's head. He's facing an all-out blitz here, and it's honestly not even his fault because he has to get the ball out quick, but it was just a funny play. And for the next honorable mention, I got the Browns QB, Dylan Gabriel. He has a little window right here to get it to Hannon, but instead he scrambles out the pocket and gets hit for an incompletion. And for my last honorable mention, I got the rookie out of Oregon, Dylan Gabriel. Isaiah Bond runs this nice out and in route that gets him open, and Gabriel has a clean pocket to step up and make this throw, but somehow throws it behind him for an incompletion. And now for the real list. At number five, I got the signal caller for the Browns, Dylan Gabriel. He throws this rare deep ball to Jerry Jeudy that almost gets picked, and he decided to throw a back shoulder fade, but he should have threw it in the back of the end zone to give Jeudy a better chance to make a play on the ball. And at number four, I got the rookie QB for the Browns, Dylan Gabriel. He does a good job of looking off the safety and has a wide open hand in on this deep dig route, but instead he decides to check it off to his tight end for no gain. And at number three, I got the third round pick for the Browns, Dylan Gabriel. He scrambles out of the pocket and Judy does a good job of going upfield to get open. But instead, he throws him out of bounds, which should have been a touchdown. And at number two, I got soon-to-be QB2, Dylan Gabriel. He has a pretty clean pocket right here, but he decides to scramble towards the defensive lineman and throws his ball into triple coverage, which should have been a pick. And at number one, I got the 41st starting quarterback for the Browns since 1999, Dylan Gabriel. He has no one open on this play, so he decides to blindly throw it to his checkdown, which should have been a potential pick six.
Oh my God. I love that format.
That's good.
Please don't ever stop doing this. Gabriel sucks right now.
And they had that team had Baker Mayfield with the 1-1 face of the franchise. They decided he was no good.
And yeah.
Look, I mean, they don't just mess up. They mess up in so many ways.
Yeah, they really do. Hey, you know that feeling when your mind won't shut off at night or the stress just keeps piling and piling up? What if I told you there might be a solution that you should check out? How about the folks at CBDFX? They recently sent me some samples. I know all about the CBD phenomenon these days, and I'm curious but a little bit skeptical. Well, I've been trying them out to find out what works best for me. There's a whole range of products, gummies, capsules, topicals, you name it. I've been testing their CBD and CBD night capsules. They're built to get you asleep fast and keep you asleep all night. CBN is what they call the ultimate relaxation cannabinoid and is packed with other natural sleep support. They also make these original mixed berry CBD gummies that have won 4 Healthline Best CBD Gummy Awards, and they're gentle and they have calming effects. They're great for overall wellness and they actually taste good. Natural berry flavor. CBDFX has been doing this since 2014, so they've got it down. Everything is USA made with organic hemp, no GMOs, no pesticides, no harmful chemicals, all verified by third-party lab testing. Whether you want calm, focus, better sleep, or just an overall wellness boost, CBDFX has something for you. Right now, my listeners get 40% off your first order with code ZABE at CBDFX. That's code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo at CBDFX.com. 40% off using my promo code. Feel the difference with CBDFX. Hey, you know, some of my most cherished childhood memories are the photos I have from the holidays while growing up on the mean streets of McLean. Those pictures are everything. But here's the problem. In today's world, all of your family photos are trapped in your cell phone. Your mom would love to see those pictures of the grandkids, but when was the last time you actually shared them beyond a quick text? That's where Aura Frames comes in, and this is the perfect gift solution. You get the frame from mom or grandma, then you can flip those digital assets over to them all year long. Download the Aura app, connect to Wi-Fi, and you can add photos from anywhere, anytime. It's just one gift at the holidays, but you look like a hero 365 days a year. Unlimited photos and videos. Share effortlessly straight from your phone. The frame arrives preloaded in a premium gift box with no price tag. For a limited time, visit AuraFrames.com and get $45 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames, mentioned by Wirecutter, by using promo code ZABE at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code ZABE. The exclusive Black Friday Cyber Monday deal is the best of the year. So order now before it ends. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. The holidays are here, and if you've got names on your list that are impossible to buy for, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you can't find anywhere else. You'll discover presents that feel meaningful and personal, never rushed or last-minute. I found something perfect for any football fan in your life, the New York Times Custom Football Book. You pick your favorite NFL team and they create a custom book with actual front page coverage from the Times going all the way back to that team's early years. We're talking historic games, championships, legendary moments, over 90 pages of real newspaper history. Talk about a gift that will blow them away. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, book lovers, sports fans, foodies, mixologists, and gardeners. You'll find unforgettable gifts that are anything but ordinary. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses.
And with every purchase you make, they give $1 back to nonprofit partners of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zabe. That's uncommongoods.com/CZA-Echo for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a half a million dollars to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.
Okay.
Okay. I've got some college notes for you.
All right, let's go.
I texted you on Saturday afternoon and said the next coach at Penn State is going to be Cignetti. And that was the day before Franklin got fired. I didn't expect him to go that quick. That's going to be an interesting. I think the world of Cignetti.
Yeah, okay. There's a lot of people who say that they're not going to be able to get him. That Cignetti is already set up at Indiana, that there's a lot of money at Indiana, and that he doesn't need to go jump in with a whole new set of bosses.
Probably that's true. But how many times in life have we said that?
I know.
And the guys always go to USC and Alabama and Penn State. They always say, I love it here. And then the Johnny Damon rule. I'll never be a Yankee. Wait, how much?
Right.
As soon as the numbers come in, they change. But if you remember, Cignetti was an assistant coach in Bama. People forget this. And he left to go be a head coach of, I forget, a small school before James Madison, lower level, because he wanted to be a head coach. And he took a humongous pay cut. You know, as an assistant on Bama, he was making money.
Sure.
And then he went to a small school. He wanted to be a head coach. And he went from there, and then he went to Madison. And now he Indiana, went to, and he's brushing
He went to IUP.
Yes.
Division II. Yeah.
Not a lot of Bama guys go there.
Then went
voluntarily.
Then went to Elon.
Elon.
Mm-hmm. Then he went to James Madison in 2019 and had a four-year run. Then he got the job at Indiana and had the most epic quote, which is, I just win. Google me.
Google me. He is the classic bet on himself story. Now, he's arrogant, and he can be a real you-know-what, but he did bet on himself. And I know the day you come home, I assume he's married, the day you come home and say, honey, we're leaving this Alabama job and we're going to IUPUI.
Right.
That's a hard conversation at dinner.
Yeah.
But it's worked. And
That's the life for these guys, though. That's why when fans bitch about how much certain coaches are making and the size of their buyouts, I'm like, okay, well, do you know the road that they traveled? Do you know how little money they made along the way? Do you know how competitive it is? And are you sympathetic to the fact that they are trying to coach up and get running in one direction? 90 plus horny ass 18 and 19 year old men young boys, really, still in a lot of ways. And now those young boys are getting paid a shit ton of money, millions of dollars. So they think their shit doesn't stink and they are less coachable than ever. And they're more fragile than ever. Like in terms of Franklin, I said this earlier in the week, I don't believe that he suddenly forgot how to coach or that he didn't know that he was in a dangerous spot for a letdown after the loss to Oregon. I think he probably rode him as hard as he could, preached, we've got to be focused for this game against UCLA, and his kids just didn't respond. I don't believe that James Franklin, as inadequate as he may be when it comes to winning the biggest of games, I don't believe that he was like, well, fuck it, it's UCLA, we're going to win easily. I don't believe it. I do not. I think we as fans, Mr. X, need to blame these players more, especially since they're getting paid. It used to be, well, you can't criticize him. He's just a kid in college. Well, he's a pro now.
He's a pro now.
Fuck you guys.
No, I'm not sure. I always thought he was a. Sometimes you get success at a low program. Let's just call Vanderbilt a low level program, and you get success, and you can get over glorified too quick, and then later you say, okay, why did we really think he was good? Because you had a couple good years at Vanderbilt. Maybe I'm not saying he's not good, but sometimes guys go up the ladder a little too quickly, just based on time and place. But I also liked the one X2 sent me where he mentioned, I'm sure you've seen it, but, you know, UCLA, who was the worst, looked like the worst major conference team in the country 2 weeks ago, fired the staff. And their interim head coach, after two games, now has as many wins over Big Ten top teams as Franklin.
Yeah, I know. It's just crazy like that. Okay.
My last note on college, though, is it bothers me every Saturday when I hear Nick Saban say the same thing. And he's gotten pretty good at his analysis. First year, he was just, you know, a figurehead. Now he's gotten much better. But he always talks about the system. And he talks about how he doesn't like that you get penalized for losses.
Okay.
So it's that old thing of, hey, the SEC has the top five schools and they should be in the playoffs no matter what. You don't penalize them for losing. What's your alternative, coach? How do you want to pick the playoff teams? You just want to like line them up like a beauty contest, or do you actually have to win the games? And I still feel like maybe when, you know, a Georgia and Bama play in the championship game, and the loser's out, and you tell me the loser is still a top five team? Sure they are, but you had a chance. And the teams that win deserve to have a chance. Yeah. And the teams that lose three or four games, you might be good, and I'm not penalizing you, but the alternative is the teams that beat you have to beat you again. Is that more fair? You know, if I beat you once and then we say, well, we're both in the tournament, well, now I got to beat you two times. How is that fair to the winning team? That's right. The part I don't grasp. Well, the winning team beats you. Yeah. They move on. You don't.
Well, that's why the great Vincent Lombardi once said, winning isn't everything. It's the only thing.
Yeah. Throw that in with Parcells. You are what your record says you are.
Right. And people often misunderstood Lombardi's quote as to being somehow needlessly hardo about it. Like, well, does sportsmanship matter? Does this, does that?
No.
He didn't say it didn't matter. He just said he wanted to hammer home that winning isn't everything. It's the only thing, meaning it's the reason you play sports, to try to win. As silly as it may be. I mean, it doesn't matter in the big picture of things. These are all just fun and games for us to be distracted by in our daily lives. But yeah, you're trying to win. So that's really the only thing that matters. So yeah, Saban is one of these guys talking about that. The thing about the polls, I want to talk about the polls for a second, because Washington is getting criminally jobbed right now as a 5-1 team that had some good wins and only one bad loss, or not even a bad loss, I think. But it doesn't matter now. The polls don't matter now that there is clearly probably an SEC bias that Missouri's in and Washington is out. But it does shadow ahead. It does foretell a coming fuckery for some teams that are not SEC teams when it comes time to pick the playoffs. Am I right about that? It doesn't matter now, but it does indicate you're probably going to get fucked if it's close once they go to committee.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, when you lose a few games, the teams that beat you are allowed to move on, and it doesn't matter how good you are on paper. You know, I want to see, like last year, you know what, if SMU gets in and gets waxed, so be it. But I don't want to keep digging down 4, 5, 6 deep in the same conference and saying you're good, because you're asking the teams that beat you to have to beat you again.
Right.
I don't like that part.
Washington, by the way, is 5-1. Their only loss was to Ohio State, the number one team in the country.
Well, you know who's going to be the sneaky get in, have an outside shot to get in the wildest scenario is Virginia Cavaliers. Have you noticed that?
How about your Wahoos suddenly?
They have it right in front of them because of this ridiculous schedule where they play none of the top four ACC teams. And a lot of people don't realize they lost to NC State in a crazy non-conference game.
Yeah.
Do you know why? Yeah. They're undefeated in the conference because for some reason they scheduled that as a what do you call it? A fill-in game. They played each other, so it doesn't count as a conference loss. All they got to do is beat Duke and Cal, and they're in the playoffs. Now, granted, Miami will be laying 37, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I talked to my guy Chris Broussard, who runs this podcast. You know Chris. And yep. He said he sees on some message boards talk and chatter about the SEC maybe trying to get Virginia Tech and Virginia added because they want.
I knew Virginia. I didn't think they wanted Tech. I thought they were after Virginia and Carolina.
It is Virginia and Carolina. And I said, my God, no. Nobody wants that. And they're like, well, the league does because it would help push into, the East Coast markets. And I'm like, but the average fan does not want to see Ole Miss versus Virginia or Texas versus Virginia. These don't fit the flavor profile. This is a peanut butter and mustard sandwich. I want my SEC to be mostly Southern fried football. And I have tolerated the plain states additions of the likes of Texas and Missouri, but that's about as far as I will go. I do not want ACC remnants in the SEC. No, thank you.
You are not putting that toothpaste back in the tube. It is over.
You know what?
But nobody cares about this, but to me, I think.
Yeah.
I think about the other sports. Okay, if you're playing lacrosse or tennis or swimming, and you're like, okay, I kind of want to go to Virginia, but I got to go to SMU. I got to go to California. I got to go to Stanford. I mean, you know what? The ones who are not big paid professional athletes in college that are actually students, now that they're combining these conferences, I remember when Bobby Knight used to complain that they moved the games to 9:30 on a school night instead of the 7 p.m. They'd move them to 9:30 for TV, and he'd say, we're playing a road game, and these kids have class in the morning, and he was complaining. Well, now they're going coast to coast five times a year. That can't be easy if you're in a sport where you're not being paid to be an athlete, but maybe you are still a student. But once you change conferences, it changes for all of them. So it seems like those guys get a tougher path. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. All right, do you want to pick the Thursday game and then call it a week?
Sure. Last week, I think you laughed when I took the Giants.
Great call, by the way. Did you take them outright to get greedy?
Oh, no.
No, I'm not that much of a lunatic.
I'm not going to make that up. I thought they had a shot at home, and they took the points, which brings up that rule I always say about picking – the crap teams, like last week, what was it? We won with Giants, Carolina, but when you pick the Jets was a nice win on Sunday. It's really hard to watch those teams. And when you win, it feels, but when you lose by a mile and you feel so dumb, but I still think you win more often than not. But when you have the Browns and you have to watch the Browns, it can be ugly.
Who did
anyway,
I take?
This week, this week,
no.
We got
no. Who did I take again? Last? Who did I take last Thursday?
Oh, you took Philly.
I'm an idiot.
You said I can't take the big blue,
and I should have.
yeah, that was quite a upset win.
What is my what is my record picking Thursdays with you now? It's got to be close to 1-5. I stink this year at everything.
No, you know what? I'm sorry, I don't have
you don't
that.
Have it on
but
right.
You've done better than that because I know there were 2 weeks that you won and I lost. I think we're both right around 3-3, and I'm sorry I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, that's fine. I know I'm not hot. That's all I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, chance to get on the winning track this week. Hit me.
Yeah, this is what do we got? Pitt is laying 5.5. Where are they? They are at Cincinnati in the Tomlin, Joe Flacco
clash.
In the
Icy Hot Bowl.
Yeah. Total's 43.5. This smells, but I
Bengals.
It's the same as last week. I'm going to take the crap team at home on a short work week, and I don't know how it'll get there, but it looks a lot like the Giant game, a division game at home, short week, Pitt traveling. it has flat spot written all over it for Pitt, maybe. But you know what? Tomlin's teams aren't flat. I know the Steelers fans hate him, but my God, I write on the chalkboard every year, stop betting against Mike Tomlin, stop betting against Mike Tomlin, because he does it. But I'll take the Bengals. It'll probably get to 6, but right now it's 5.5.
Okay. I am going to use a somewhat analytic approach to this game because it does jam my radar just a bit. I want to pick Pittsburgh minus, but I got to go with this angle. Aaron Rodgers is 41 years old and 317 days as of right now. Joe Flacco, meanwhile, hold on, I hit my music there, wrong button. Joe Flacco is only 40 years old and 272 days. In division with games involving two 40-year-old quarterbacks, the quarterback that is younger by at least 100 days, which is favoring Flacco here, who started the season as the QB1 for another team in division prior to Halloween, is a staggering system play of 105-4-2 all time when catching more than a field goal at home. So the play is the Kitty Cats, the Bengals, and Joe Flacco plus the 5.5.
Every time I think I know my stuff, you find nuggets that I missed.
Hey, I have the best research staff in the world. They get to the bottom of it, is what they do.
I'm sure you know this. Is this got to be close to a record for total age of starting QBs?
I'll look that
in
up.
In a game?
You want me to try to see if Gronk is open right now?
Gronk's open. I'm guessing Steve DeBerg played somebody, but I don't know.
Well, I think George Blanda played quarterback till he was 46.
Remember, he was kicking that late. He didn't QB in that much in his 40s, but you could be right. He might have had a fill-in game.
When did Brady retire? 44? 45?
Yeah, but I just can't think offhand of who he could have matched up against.
All he needs is a 38-year-old, and he's got it. Because that's, 45
that sounds 38. That sounds like Belichick. all he needs is a 38-year-old.
Let me see how to craft this query. What is the oldest combined age of quarterbacks in NFL matchup? Gronk is grinding the internet. Oh, here's your answer. 85 years and 30 days. It was November of 2020. Buccaneers Saints. Brady was 43. Yep, Brady was 43 and 98 days. Breeze was 41 and 297.
That was actually easy. I'm sitting here trying to dig up Steve DeBerg, and it's Brady Breeze. That was an easy one.
Yeah, well, usually when I say, man, this probably hasn't happened in a million years, the answer is no, it happened last year.
Last year.
All right, Mr. Rex, as always.
Wait, this is the oldest one since then.
Since. Yeah, well, it's not a good since stat because my metric for since stat is if it's not 10 years, don't tell me about it.
Exactly.
I'm not impressed by since less than 10 years. It's just pointless.
Yep.
All right. For more information, go to callmemrx.com. You can also follow Mr. X on Twitter at @JustCallMeMrX. As always, bet with your head, no over it. That's Furio's advice. And Mr. X says, only bet as much as you can afford to win.
There you go.
All right, we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a half a million dollars to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.